Gospel of John, chapter 6. And I'd like for us to consider this evening, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. When Moses was chosen and called by the Lord to lead Israel out of Egypt, he was told that he must go and speak unto Pharaoh and call upon Pharaoh to let the people, the children of Israel, go. Moses then said, Come now therefore, or rather the Lord said, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now Moses wasn't sure what he would tell Pharaoh. And he was not sure what he would say to the children of Israel. And so Moses said, God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14. I am the incommunicable name of God. And Moses could not speak in any greater name than the name of the great I Am. But this is a name that not only belongs to the Father of Israel, it is a name that belongs to the King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on a certain day, when speaking to the Jews, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. John 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. This name for God, the Lord Jesus frequently used it when speaking of himself. There cannot be any doubt about the deity of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus said that he was the I Am. We see that in John chapter 18. And verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. The word he is in italics. It's not in the original. So when Christ spoke, he said, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Such is the power of that name. He put forth his power. The power of the great I Am. When he faced those who had come to arrest them in Gethsemane. When he said, I am, they fell backwards. And here in our text for this evening, the great I am appears once more. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He spoke these words in response to a challenge by the Jews. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Here the Lord Jesus describes himself as the true bread from heaven. Here the Lord Jesus describes himself as the bread of God. And here the Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Nobody else, but no one could make that claim but Jesus Christ alone. Here the Lord then likens himself unto the manna which fell in the wilderness and fed the children of Israel. And so here you have the Lord, the great I am, likening himself unto the bread that fell on the surface of the wilderness. So what are the parallels between the manna and the one who said, I am the bread of life? Regarding this manna and the bread of life, I want us to notice how the manna was received. How the manna was received. For this we must turn to Exodus chapter 16. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to that passage of Scripture. Exodus chapter 16. I always like to hear the rustle of leaves. Leaves of the Bible, pages. When we turn to a passage or a verse, I always like to hear the congregation turning to it. We're turning to Exodus chapter 16. You might put a marker there because we'll be referring to this chapter quite often. And the first thing that we notice about the manna is that it was a sign. The Lord God of heaven had heard the murmurings of the children of Israel for bread. Look there at chapter 16 and verses 7 and 8. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Notice Moses said to the children of Israel, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. And how will the glory of the Lord be manifested to the children of Israel? Well, verse 8 tells us, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. And so you can see that the glory of the Lord was to be revealed to Israel in the morning. And what was to happen in the morning? Why, the bread was to come down from heaven. In other words, the glory of the Lord would be seen in the manna that came down from heaven. The manna would speak of God's glory. That's the clear teaching of these verses. And here in these words we have our thoughts turned to the one who is the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. For do these words not remind us of the Lord's coming down from heaven, like the manna, and coming into this world? And what did John say? The Word was made flesh and He dwelt amongst us and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the bread of life, the true bread, the Lord Jesus said, the bread of God. And when Christ came, people saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And in many ways, it was a morning. For Jesus Christ came, and it was the dawn of a new day when Christ came. And His glory was seen as the bread of life coming into the world like the manna. It was a sign of God's glory. I want you to notice something else that was special. This manna was special. When the children of Israel saw the manna on the ground, they didn't know what it was. Look at Exodus 16 and verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The word manna means, what is it? Or it is a portion. And so when the children of Israel saw the manna, they didn't know what it was. They hadn't seen anything like this before. And they would never see anything like it after. This wasn't bread that was made by man. This was bread that was made by God. Came down from heaven and given to the children of Israel. They'd never seen anything like it. When Jesus Christ came into the world, He came as one who was unique. When men looked upon Christ, they looked upon one whom they'd never seen the likeness of before. Christ is unique. When you think of His coming into the world, He was born of a virgin. He was born as no other man was born. He lived as no other man lived, for He lived without sin. He lived without sin. He was sinless. He died as no other man died, because His life was not taken from Him. He laid down His life. He's unique. There's no one like Christ. He's special. And He defeated death. There's no other man defeated death. He's the God-man. He's God manifest in flesh. Two distinct natures in one person. God forever. He's unique. He's like the manna that fell in the desert. And when the Lord Jesus spoke, men were astonished at His doctrine. They said they never heard the like of it before. Did not the officers of the Pharisees say, never man, never, never man speak like this man. Never. He's special. When he put forth his power, what did the people say? Why, they said, we have never seen it like this. We've never seen it in this wise. They've never seen anything like it. And in many ways, they didn't know who he was. Just like the man, they didn't know what it was. Many didn't know who Christ was. We read in our reading tonight, they thought he was the son of Joseph. And they said, if he's the son of Joseph, how then did he come down from heaven? They didn't know who he was. Just like the man, didn't know what it was. Yes, the Lord Jesus is special. When he stilled the tempest, those closest to him said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? They'd never seen the like of it before. Oh, he's special, all right, for there's none like him. And he's the bread of life. He's the great I am. But next we notice how this manna was seen. When the children of Israel looked upon the manna, what did they see? Look at Exodus 16, verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed. It's white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So whenever they looked upon the manna, first thing they noticed, according to this verse 31, they noticed that it was white. That's what they saw when they looked on the manna. Now, white in Scripture is the color of purity. It's a symbol of purity. And no one was purer than the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. No wonder he said that he said, I am the true bread. No wonder he said, I am the bread of God. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The Lord Jesus is pure in heart. He's pure in thought. He's pure in his ways. He's pure in his words. Everything about him is pure. Why, he said himself that Satan hath nothing in me. No other man could say it. No other man could say that Satan hath nothing in me. Even his enemies could not find anything in him whereby they might accuse him. Even his enemies. And he'd been under the closest scrutiny by his enemies. If tonight we were able to call up Pilate and have Pilate stand in our midst, we would ask him, Pilate, what think ye of Christ? I believe we would hear Pilate say, I find no fault in him. And Pilate, what about your wife? What would your wife say of the Lord Jesus? We would hear his wife say, have thou nothing to do with that just man, that righteous man? And what of Judas? What of Judas? What of the arch traitor? What would Judas say The one who sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. I hear the hater of the Son of God confess, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He's innocent. No fault found in him. He's just. He's righteous. Oh, blessed bread of life, so pure, so innocent, so faultless. Yet we know that he came to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want you to notice something else. Notice its size. We're told that this manna, as it fell from heaven, fell as a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. Verse 14 of Exodus 16. So the emphasis here placed upon the size. Twice over we're told it was small. Now the Lord Jesus, remember, is likening himself unto the manna, saying, I am the true bread. I am the bread of God. And yet, when we look at the bread the Israelites ate in the wilderness, we're told it was small. Small, round thing. Now, as the children of Israel looked upon the manna that lay on the ground, they saw that little, small, humble piece of bread. Humble. That's something that describes the Lord Jesus. Was anyone ever as humble as he? Here we have in this title, I am the bread of life. I am, the great I am, likens himself onto a piece of bread. There's humility. And we see the manna as a humble piece of bread, and we are reminded of Christ and his humility. In coming into the world, he humbled himself. As Paul tells us in Philippians. Consider the humility of the Lord Jesus. Consider the place that he came to. Does that not speak of his humility? When he came into the world as the manna from heaven, where did he come to? But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little, among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, he chose when he came into the world to come to Bethlehem Ephratah, little among the thousands of Judah. There's the humility of Christ. Think of his parents. Do they not speak of his humility? Do his parents not speak of his humility? For did they not say about him, about his earthly father, they said, is not this the carpenter's son? He was born into a home where his earthly father was nothing more than a carpenter. There's his humility. He was born into a home that was marked by its poverty. For when they went up to the temple to sacrifice, they couldn't afford a lamb. Provision was made for the poor. They were allowed to bring two turtle doves. Joseph and Mary brought two turtle doves, speaking of their poverty, and it was into such a home that Christ was born. Think of not only his place and his parents, but his people. You think of the people that the Lord Jesus walked amongst, and the people that he worked amongst, and the people that he won to himself. What were they? Lepers. Blind. Halt. Maimed. Deaf and dumb. Remember what was said of him? The common people. The common people heard him gladly. Those were the people the Lord Jesus ministered to. So when you think of the manna as a small round thing, think of the humility and the humbleness of Christ, the bread of life. But then we're told something about its shape. For we're told that it was a small round thing, verse 14. Small as the hoar frost on the ground. Small round thing. Moses described it as a small round thing, so it was round. And if you were looking for a point of beginning and a point of end, you wouldn't find it. You take a baseball or a tennis ball or a soccer ball. It's round. There's no beginning and there's no end. And this reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Micah has told us that his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And what do we read over in Hebrews? In Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Without father, without mother, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, that's Christ. Without beginning of days, no beginning, no end. He is eternal. He is the great I Am, after all. He was there in the beginning and made all things. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the Lord said, I am the true bread. I am the true manna. I am the bread of life. He is God. He lives in the power of an endless life. He has neither beginning nor end. Praise the Lord. One other thing about this bread or this manna they received. Exodus 16, verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. There's its sweetness. You think of the foolish children of Israel. And they started to murmur. They said in verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. I guarantee they never tasted anything in Egypt like the manna from heaven. They never tasted anything like the manna from heaven. It was as sweet as honey. Whenever we were in the world, we were sitting at the flesh pots of Egypt, and we thought we were having a feast. Until we found Christ, or until Christ found us, and we partook of the bread of life. And what did we find? We found it was sweet to our taste. Did the psalmist not say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." Everything about Christ is sweet. His company is sweet. His fellowship is sweet. His words are sweet. His smile is sweet. Yes, he is more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. That's Christ. Proverbs 19 verse 10. We didn't know what we were missing when we were sitting eating at the flesh pots of Egypt. But we thank God for the day that he brought us to partake of the bread of life. And how sweet he was to our taste. And still is. For every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We have noted then how the manna was recognized. Next we notice how the manna was received. The first thing we notice about the children of Israel and the manna is that the manna was given to the children of Israel. It was given. Chapter 16 again, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." The bread was given. Verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And so this bread came to the children of Israel as a gift from God. Now we see that the people in no wise deserve this gift. Not at all. They deserve rather to be left there to perish in the wilderness because they had chided with Moses and they had murmured against God. And because of this sin, they deserve nothing but the judgment of God. But instead, in wrath, the Lord remembered mercy. And he gave them a gift. And the gift was manna from heaven. Jesus Christ said he is the bread of life. And Jesus Christ came into the world as a gift to a non-deserving people. For believer, what did you and I deserve? Nothing. But the wrath of God. We deserved a lost eternity. That's what we deserved. But once more in wrath, God remembered mercy. Had mercy on our souls. And we read in John 6 and verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Giveth you. There it is. The true bread from heaven. Christ is telling his hearers, my Father has given me for you. In verse 33, for the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Christ is the one who was given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Father gave his son and the son gave his life. See, all that was given to us, an undeserving people. We ought to thank God for Christ every day. You notice also that it was gathered. This manna, verse 16 of Exodus 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Some gathered much, some gathered little, but all that they gathered, they had no lack. They gathered it. If it was going to do them any good, they had to gather the manna. If they were going to be saved from starvation in the wilderness, they had to gather that which had been given to them. If sinners are to be saved, they must take Christ as he is given to them in the gospel, presented to them in the gospel. Now we know that the manna fell every morning except on the Sabbath. So what did they have? They had a fresh supply of manna every morning. Isn't that what Christ is to you and me? There's nothing stale about Christ. The Lord Jesus is fresh to our souls every day. Isn't he? Isn't he sweet to our taste every day? We never tire of the bread of life. We never tire of eating this manna from heaven. It's fresh every day. His mercies are new every morning. But then, I noticed they did something with the manna before they ate it. To turn, please, to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11 and verse 8. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. See, the bread was fresh every day. The manna was fresh every day, but before they ate it, we're told they ground it, and they beat it, and they baked it in pans. Before they ate it. This reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Before the Lord Jesus would be of any benefit to sinners, he had to be ground, he had to be beaten, and he had to go through the fires of the oven of God's judgment. And it's the crucified Christ that does our souls good. It's the crucified Christ that we partake of. Had Christ come into the world and lived a perfect life but never died on the cross for you and me, we would have reaped no benefit at all. Because we'd still be in our sin. We'd still go on be on the road to a lost eternity. It's the crucified Christ that is of benefit to our souls. And we eat of him. We eat his flesh and we drink his blood. My, how he does us good. Finally, we note how the manna was remembered. How did the children of Israel remember the manna? Go back to chapter 16 again. And we're told in verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now the manna was given to them in the first place because they needed bread. If they had not got bread, they would have died of starvation. So how would they remember the manna? They would remember the manna as the bread that saved them. The manna saved them. Saved them from perishing in the wilderness. And how will we remember Christ? How did we remember him this morning around the Lord's table? We remembered him as the one who saved us. Saved us from perishing in this wilderness. Isn't that what he called himself? He said, I am the bread of life. And in Christ we have life. Eternal life, abundant life, everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. And if we have the bread of life, then we have life, as the Lord said in John 6 and verse 33. They remembered the manna as the bread that saved them. They remembered the manna as the bread that sustained them. We've just read in verse 35, they did eat manna 40 years. I remember when I was just a wee lad at home with my parents, and I remember reading, or it was on the radio or something, about a boy who had some physical disorder and his sole diet was eating bananas. It's all he could eat. And I remember saying to my mother, boy, I wouldn't mind that. I'd love to eat bananas every day. My mother says, no, you wouldn't. You'd soon get tired of eating bananas. The children of Israel ate manna for 40 years and they never tired of eating manna. How many years have you and I been in the Christian pathway? Have we tired of partaking of Christ? Not at all. He's fresh. He's sweet. He's everything we need. He's all that we want. You turn again back to John 6. And in John 6, in verse 53, John 6 and verse 53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise them up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He'll sustain us all the way, believer, all the way to glory. He'll sustain us. That's how they would remember the manna. When they reached Canaan, they would remember the manna as the bread that saved them. They would remember the manna as the bread that sustained them. They would remember the manna for one other thing. They would remember the manna as the bread that satisfied them. Because the Lord said that they would eat the bread to the full. The satisfied. Isn't that what we can say of the Lord Jesus? Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy. Lord Jesus found in me. He satisfies. He sustains. He saves. I am, Jesus said. I am the bread of life. Let us partake of him. Let us eat to the full. And we'll always be satisfied. We'll not need anything to supplement the bread of life. All we have or all we need is found in him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.